Morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord with the people of God this morning. Praise the Lord. And thanks, Jonathan, for the CareNet presentation. It's a ministry that Journey has been a part of for a number of years. Thinking even before me, I know there's people who have volunteered at CareNet. So praise the Lord for the work they're doing. A quick announcement on something that's happened within the life of our church. One of our dear members, Audrey Whittington, has gone to be with the Lord. And some of you, I think, may have known this. This occurred earlier this week or now this last week. But there's others of you who may not have known. Audrey was a dearly beloved member of Journey Church Tacoma, and we're going to miss her. And she's gone on to be with her Lord and Savior. One of the great things about when believers depart is that we know where they're going. And we know where our home is. And so Lord, please rally around Deb and Laura and George as they wrestle with Audrey's loss. And our church is going to rally around them and do what we do to be the hands and feet of Christ to our brothers and sisters. But Audrey is going to be with the Lord, so please pray for them and pray for her loved ones who are left behind. And we'll have more information out about her service and everything that'll be coming up in the next few weeks. But I wanted to alert the family about that and about a family member who's going to be with Jesus. So please keep them in your prayers. Today, we are going to have a word from, again, Colossians from our series, Viral Gospel, Viral Faith, that we've been looking at in the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossians. And today we're going to be looking at Colossians 2, verses 6 through 15. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 15. I'll be reading this morning, so you kind of stuck with me. You got the awesomeness of Shelley a few weeks ago. You got the awesomeness of Allie. We're still, still recruiting readers. So if you get the tap on the shoulder, or if you just say, hey, I want to do it, hey, we got you. Okay, so now you're stuck with Myron again reading. So, ha. But in any event, let's pray, and then we'll read the scriptures, and we'll get into them. Let's do it. Father God, in the great name of King Jesus, we are a needy people. We need you. We need more of you increasingly every day. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, please light down upon us in the power of the Holy Spirit as we unpack your word. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts individually. Speak to our church collectively. Help us, Lord, to take in your word and to have it transform us so that we could be all that you have called us to be in Christ, so that we could do all that you'd have us to do in Christ, so that we can, Lord, become the people who you want us to be. In the great name of King Jesus, we lift up this time. We consecrate it. It is yours. We are yours. Have your way. Amen, amen. Glory be to God. Right, Colossians 2, we're in verses 6 through 15. Colossians 2, 6 through 15. Paul writes this. So then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen. Paul has been encouraging the Colossians about the Lord's work in them through the power of the gospel. You've seen it. We're kind of at the midway point of the letter. But so far at the first half, you've seen Paul encouraging them and saying, hey, here's what I see in you. I see the Lord at work. I see the cool things that are happening in your life, or at least I hear about them. Epaphras has testified that this is happening to you. I hear it from prison, and even though I'm in jail, I'm so happy. I am so ecstatic about what God is doing because of the power of the gospel at work in you, right? At the same time, he teaches them, and you have to continue. Don't rest on your laurels. Don't go bananas, right? You have to continue. You have to continue, which is it's a very good thing to hear when you've made progress in any way, shape, or form, especially spectacular progress. You have to hear two voices. Well done. Praise God. Keep going. You have to hear that. So last Sunday, your squad, the Seahawks, right? They won. They won the big dance, right? In spectacular fashion. I knew they were going to win. I can actually say this. Right. One thing about sports commentary is it's basically, you know, filled with people basically saying, I told you so. Right. You could boil down so much of sports commentary to, I said it first. I knew it. Right. I did know it. Yes. I'm taking a lap. I didn't play anything. I didn't play the game. I didn't get hurt or nothing like that. I didn't tackle anybody, but I knew it. Right. Because your defense is amazing. Right. So what is it now? It used to be I forgot the previous name of the defense. Now it's called the dark side. Right. Is that that's what it is? Wow. Lights out defense. But what are people already talking about? Right. You won this year. What is it? How do you get there next year? Can they do it again? Can they keep the band together? Can they keep the team together? Can the dark side defense stay together? Right. Not get picked off through free agency. Right? Can Sam Darnold repeat? Like, he did a good job. The defense was most of the story. He did do a good job, though. Can Sam Darnold repeat? Because he's a great story in and of himself. Right? Well done. Continue. Right? And you've already seen that in the first half of the letter. Well done, by the grace of God. Continue. Over and over again. It's a drumbeat. Right throughout the letter, you're going to hear it again. You hear it at the top of this installment of our time of our series. You see it again, verses 6-7. So then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Excuse me. Continue. Right, rooted and built up in Him. Right, continue. All right, so you've seen it again. It's like, wow, Paul just keeps hammering this home. Continue, keep going. But there's something different about this one. We've been talking about the occasion for this letter, right? We've been talking about the occasion that there is false teaching. We would now call it New Age. We would now call it occultism. That the Colossians haven't fallen for it. But someone is trying to persuade them. So we don't know, we got told who this is. There isn't a name like Bob Smith, you know, or, you know, Susan Jones. There's no names attached. It's just somebody. Somebody. And Epaphras has said to Paul, hey, these are my people. Could you say something to this? Could you speak to this? Hence the letter. And we know this is the background, but now Paul is going to directly begin to attack this false stuff. Now he's going to really start hitting it and start attacking this false stuff directly. So it's now not just continue, right? You won the Super Bowl. Can you repeat? Who knows, right? You got the promotion at work. You're worthy of it. Wonderful. Can you flourish in your new role? Who knows? Right? That was before. Now there's an obstacle. It's not just continue because you should, because Jesus is Lord and he will continue to do work in you. Yes. There's also opposition. Continue in the face of opposition. Right? Continue. right? And so what Paul is doing in this letter, right, just to make it really simple for all of us, is he's presenting a choice. It's a choice between Christ and viral lies. Viral spiritual lies that will kill you. This is the kind of stuff that you believe, it will wreck your life, right? And it will damn you. And Paul is saying, you would have boiled out our whole time. It's this, watch this. Choose this, not that. Here's why. That's it. That's the whole passage. You want to wrap your mind around this passage easily? You want an easy button? This is your easy button. Choose this, not that. Here's why. That's it. That's the whole passage, right? Choose this, not that. Here's why, right? That's it. What's the choose this? Well, we've read it. 6-7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Choose this. Right? Choose this. To sum that all up, we're going to say it's movement. Continue to live your lives in him. Continue. So you're like, you're walking, you're going forward. Depth, rooted, right? That's going down. You got deep roots, right? It's like a tree getting deeper into the soil so that it can get nutrients, so it can grow. And then built up in him, growth. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness, right? Movement, continue. Continue to live your lives in him. Rooted, that's depth. Go deep with Christ. Built up, growth. You know, he's really working to get all the directions in here. In a short space, he's like, you grow every way that Christ would have you grow. Forward, down, up. Notice the one thing you don't have, back. Because we don't go back. Right? You don't backslide. It's the one direction. Don't do that one. Right? Forward, down, up, yes. Back, yeah, not so much. Let's not do that one. Right? Let's not do that one. Choose this. Choose this in Christ. Choose this. And not just in Christ. Choose this with the same Christ. Right? So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, right? Last bit, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness, right? As you received Christ as Lord, and then as you were taught, it's the same Christ. That's what he's appealing to. He said, it's the same Jesus, the same Lord Jesus, the same way you received him. You go, you move forward, you grow deep, and you grow up in the same Jesus who you received, in the strength and in the faith as you were taught. Right? The same Jesus. Jesus doesn't get, he doesn't get a makeover, right? You don't need a makeover Jesus, right? You don't need a new Jesus, right? You need the same Jesus. The dynamic of growth is on us. It's movement, depth, growth. That's where the dynamic is. We may be tempted to flip it and say, oh, no, I don't need to grow anymore. No. I don't need to grow. I don't need to go forward and continue. I don't need to go deep. I don't need to grow up. I need a new Jesus. I need a new book. And I'm not against books. I'm a nerd. A lot of you have been in my house, wall-to-wall books. We're nerds. Crockett's are nerds. It's what we do, right? We do a few things. Crockett's do like five things. One of them is we engage in nerddom, right? We're nerds, we're geeks, we're proud of it, right? We should be. It's a badge of honor. We are nerds, like books. We even like old books, right? My kids read like the Brontes and Jane Austen, right? Like all right-thinking people, right? Okay, I'm not putting you down if you haven't read the classics of school, right? But, so I'm not anti-book, but when we're subbing that in for growth, uh-oh. When you're having a substitute for growth, for continuing in Christ, for growing deeper in Christ, for growing up in Christ, you say, no, I don't want to do that because that involves a cross. That involves saying bigger yeses to God and bigger no's to you and the world and the devil. And you're like, yeah, that's uncomfortable stuff. That's hard. I'd rather get a new this. I'd rather get a new that. For a lot of people right now, I'd rather get a new Jesus. Right? I'd rather get a new Jesus. And Paul is saying, no. You don't need a new Jesus. You need the same Jesus, but you need to grow up in him. You need to continue in him. You need to grow deep in him. You need to grow up in him. You don't need a new Jesus. You just need continual growth. See? Choose this, right? But again, as we said, he's already said something like this before in this short time in the letter. We're only at the halfway mark of a short letter. He's already said different things like this before, but now it's going to be different because there's opposition. We know that's been looming in the background. Now he brings it into the foreground. Okay, we're tackling this false teacher stuff. Choose this. Movement, depth, growth with Christ. Not that. It's not that. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Right? Not that. Right? Don't be taken captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Now, this is not putting down the discipline of philosophy as you may have learned it in college, right? You learn like Greek philosophy, or maybe you learn the philosophy in the Western tradition, or maybe different philosophical schools around the world. He's not saying, if you go and take philosophy 101, you're a sinner. Okay, whoa. Too far. Whoa. Right. He's not putting down philosophy as a discipline. Right. Don't go there. That's a bad place. Philosophy can be good. Even secular philosophy can have some truth in it that you need to learn from. Okay. So don't go that route. What he's talking about here is just, he's qualifying it. Don't get taken captive by hollow and deceptive philosophy. He didn't say don't engage in philosophical thought, right? You could argue there's philosophy in the Bible. There's biblical philosophy, right? But he's saying don't get taken captive by hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Notice the characteristics of the things that this is what's attacking the Colossians right now. It's stuff that takes you captive. Some system of spirituality or system of thought that takes you captive, right? What does it do? It enslaves you. That it's like getting snared, like an animal getting snared in a trap. You know, no animal means to get ensnared, right? Yes, some animal just living its little life in the woods, frolicking, enjoying life. No idea that there's a human hunter who wants to kill Bambi. You didn't know. You were just walking along, you know, trying to eat some berries. And all of a sudden, oh, how'd this happen? It's never happened before. Well, somebody wants to eat you. Welcome to the last day of your life, right? Ensnared, taken captive, Right? How do you get taken captive? Well, because you were tricked. Right? You were tricked. You didn't see the trap. There was a trap that was hidden and it got sprung on you. Right? You're a fish swimming around in the water. You see a hook. There's a worm on it. You want the worm. You don't know there's a hook. Yoink. Right? Last thing you see is the sun. Wow, it's real. Thou art done. It's a trap. You get tricked and you're taken captive. You're ensnared like an animal. You're enslaved. Right? You're promised, the cover for the trap is usually freedom. The cover for this trap is usually freedom. It will make you more free. Right? Or something like this. You know, some people, some religious fuddy-duddies say that if you follow Jesus, you gotta live a certain way. They even use words like holiness. That's scary. And probably oppressive. Right? What you need is some freedom. I have a new way of reading the Bible. It contradicts everything that's come thousands of years before, but it's freedom. Surely you want this. And some people are like, okay. And then the trap gets sprung. Right? And then you got no freedom and you got no Jesus. Right? Captivity. It's also empty. How do people get enslaved? Through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Again, don't diss philosophy as a discipline. Philosophy can be awesome, right? Philosophy can be really awesome, especially if you have, you know, awesome teachers and that kind of thing. Philosophy is not in and of itself bad. But he's talking about nonsense. It's hollow and deceptive. It promises truth, but actually doesn't have it. Right? May promise other things, freedom, beauty, power, acceptance. It's a big one right now. Acceptance. But it doesn't deliver, it's empty. Captivity, emptiness, and then Christless. I didn't write this down because it just seemed like a mouthful. Christlessness. Right? How do we know? It depends on, or it's based on, human tradition and the elemental forces of this world rather than on Christ, right? It's not based on Jesus. Now, it might include Jesus. They might throw Jesus a bone and say, oh, Jesus, we'll do you a favor. We'll include you. Don't you love to be included? You know, or you might say, I don't know about this, man, because like I'm a Christian or whatever. Oh, no, we can include Christianity. Yeah, we can include. You want to be included? So I'm like, no, I don't want to be included. He's Lord. I'm not trying to worry about being included in whatever you got. He's Lord. You should be thinking about how to get included in him. The shoe's on the other foot, right? It's Christless because it's not just that you have something that includes Jesus and we're looking for the Jesus sticker on some weird thing. Does he have a Jesus sticker? Did they put a Jesus fish on it? Oh, wow, the Jesus fish. We get taken in by this. Somebody like is at a concert, somebody who's godless and is into all kind of nonsense. But to curry the crowd, the Christians, and to get your money, they put a Jesus fish on something, and we so hungry for acceptance. We're like, oh, my gosh, he likes my thing. Oh, right? And it's like, that's crazy. You're getting played because they just want your money. They put a Jesus fish on it because you are a segment of the population that has some money that they need. So they're going to give you just enough so that you pay some money. Anything not based on Christ is Christless. Because Jesus is not vying for our inclusion, right? It doesn't work that way, right? He says that this is based on human tradition. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then the elemental spiritual forces of the world rather than on Christ. What does that mean? That scholars go back and forth. This is a specialized word Paul uses. We see the phrase elemental spiritual forces of this world. That whole phrase is one word for Paul. And it's a weird word. He used it a few other times in the New Testament. It's very strange. Because it has a few different meanings. But the one that I think is most relevant is what it sounds like. I think the translators here did a great job. This is spirits that we would call demons. And the thought about these demons is that they are demons who people think control different parts of the world. It's like the spiritual force behind the sun, the spiritual force behind trees, the spiritual force behind the water, or maybe specific bodies of water like rivers. And then you have the lakes have their own. And then the oceans have their own. Right? Which is something like a thing called animism, right? And whatever the Colossians are running into, it includes this stuff. These elemental spiritual forces that are thought to control different elements in the world. And Jesus is included in the pantheon. And Paul's like, nope, that's not how that works. Got to get rid of that, right? Got to get rid of that. All of this, you look at it, you're like, oh, that's just so, the Colossians, they haven't fallen for it yet. But it is attacking them. And they're trying to head this off before this becomes a problem, right? And you might say, why could this be attractive? Because anything that substitutes for growth is attractive. Right? Anything that substitutes for growth is attractive. Remember we said this a few weeks ago, I got this from the secular world, I think from the world of like business and management, said the magic you're looking for is in the work you're not doing. The magic, not talking about occultism, the magic you're looking for is in the work you're not doing. Human beings, we do this intrinsically. I've done this where you know the most important thing you need to do in your marriage. You know the most important thing you need to do in your relationship with your kids, grandkids. You know the most important thing at work. It's like there's this thing and it's like, oh, this is really important. I need to get on it now. And if I don't get on it now, 6 months from now, it's coming at me, man. But like, it's so hard, or I think it's hard. I've talked to myself in thinking this is like the most hard thing ever. Or there's that administrative work we need kind of in our household where we need to get this thing done. You know, last year, the end of 2024, we had a plumber come out. I forgot what our issue was. We had our plumber come out, and he told us that there was an issue with our sewer line going to from our house to the city, main. And he told us get a specialized person who does this work. They're going to come out, put a camera in there, and tell you what's happening. So we did. In December of 24, we had somebody come out. And it was like, yep, you got a thing. You got a blockage there, and I'm seeing some this and some roots and some other stuff, blah, 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 blah. And yep, and here's what this is going to cost. We're like, okay, wow, all right. We got to gear up for this. How much time we got? He's like, you got a little bit of time, but you got to hop on it. Okay, cool. So you know what we did. You know what I did. I'm like, okay, let's just like, we'll get some estimates, and we'll figure out what we can do, and blah, 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 blah. I ain't do anything, right? 1 year later, so this is December, this past December, right? All of a sudden, you know, downstairs toilet has issues. Okay, get our regular plumber out. He comes out, he's like, yeah, your downstairs toilet isn't the issue. Your issue is the sewer line, right? And we had a specialist come out. Fortunately, they were really good and they were fast. But they had to bring out the big guns, and we had to pay, right? The magic I was looking for is in the work I wasn't doing, right? And anything in the world substitutes for the thing that you know you got to do, right? The sin that you got to repent of, that thing that's been bugging you for years, and the Lord's been like, I love you. Can we drop this together? Can you just cool it? That weird belief that you had that you like, you know, you kept for a long time, and you know it's against Scripture. You know it. But it just feels more empathetic. It feels more compassionate. Because we often think that we're more compassionate and loving than God. And God's like, that's crazy. The Holy Spirit gave you 8 verses in like 5 minutes of prayer to counter that, but you still cling to it. And the Lord's like, could we stop this? Could we just cut it out, please? Right? Or that relationship that needs to repair, right? That I'm sorry that we have to give to somebody, to our spouse or our kids or somebody at work. And you know what that thing is. Anything in the world will substitute for that. Anything. I mean anything. It won't take long. If your friend says, hey, I've been watching this great show on Netflix, you're like, done, I'm there. I'm going to binge watch that thing and I'm going to go hard. This is my life. It's all I will do. Anything will substitute for the most important thing. That's why nonsense, like what Paul describes in verse 8, looks attractive. Because it's more attractive than continuing with Christ, going deep with Christ, growing up. Because it often does not involve a cross. And so we say, I want that. It's amazing. It's the most amazing thing ever. Why? No cross. And Jesus is like, you keep playing that game. There's also no crown. Choose this. Movement, depth, growth in Christ. Not that. Captivity, emptiness, Christlessness. Anything that we think substitutes for movement, depth, growth. Anything that substitutes for discipleship. Any substitute for discipleship in Christ, throw it away. Say no. The rest of the passage is different. Because Paul says, choose this, not that. Here's why. The rest of the passage is absolutely positive. He's basically strengthening his case. Here's why. Right. Here's why, and we'll see this next week as well. Here's why. Why should I choose movement, depth, growth in Christ? Why versus this new age thing that has a Jesus sticker on it? This political ideology that has a Jesus sticker on it? They found some verses on justice. It's Marxism. They've killed 100 million people in less than a century. But they said justice, and they got a verse from Amos. It must be right. You have any idea how many people are falling for this right now? And Paul pulls out the big guns. Okay, here's why. Here's why. Fullness in Christ, verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you've been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Fullness, right? What does that mean? Well, we are in union with Christ, who is full deity, right? For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Notice this. Before, he said this before, right? You saw this in chapter 1. But he uses the past tense. He says that it pleased God for his fullness to dwell in Christ. Past tense. Like when Christ was walking the earth. Now it's present tense. He says, for in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. He's talking about Christ at the right hand of God, what we said in the Apostles' Creed, right? He ascended to the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead, right? Right now, the fullness of God is in Christ in bodily form. When he was resurrected and exalted, he didn't drop off his man suit. He's at the right hand of God the Father right now in a body. He will come back to judge the world in a body. From all indications that we have, Christ will go on, the second person of the Trinity, will go on into eternity in a body. You don't think God loves you? Before the incarnation, the second person of the Trinity had no body. He comes down, we celebrate during Christmas. He comes down, born as a baby, lives like us. Dies, is resurrected in a body, exalted in a body, and from what we can see, will go on into eternity in a body. God is forever changed. The second person of the Trinity is in a body for forever, and he is pleased. That's how much God loves you. God has been eternally changed. He is the only God with scars for forever. Full deity. Right? Full deity. He's also got full authority. Right? And in Christ you've been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Meaning all the elemental spiritual forces of the world, he's like, Christ is the boss of them. Why do you think Christ is such a good exorcist? He just tells spirits, get out. They'd be like, ah, right? Oh, it's like a comic book. Oh, oh. All you're missing is little sound effects, like in a comic book, you get like wham, bam, zap, right? You don't have that, but man, you could almost see it, like when you read about that. I mean, the demons can't do anything with Jesus. They have to do what he says. Yeah, because he runs them. So Paul's point is being like, why mess around with flunkies? Why mess around with New Age and so-called ascended masters? And all this nonsense people summon up, they think they're channeling. It's like, no, you're just inviting demons into your body. Right? It's like, don't do that. Full deity, full authority. Our full selves were buried with him and raised with him through baptism, through the working of God. Verse 10, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Skip down to verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Right? He brings in circumcision, and you're like, wait, what? What are we doing here? What? How did this happen? This weird spirituality brought in Jewish mysticism and Jewish law-keeping, including circumcision. Right? They fused this weird stuff with Judaism. And they were like, hey, you want to get circumcised? Because then you'll fully know Jesus. And every guy's like, nah, man, nah, fam, I'm good. I'm good, bro. Peace out. See y'all, right? But notice what he's doing here. He says here, you have been in Christ, you've been brought to fullness, verse 9. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Baptism in the new covenant replaces circumcision. The new mark on believers in God is baptism. No longer is it circumcision. That's what's happening here. And he says basically here, he's like, look, circumcision, you only part of you gets snipped, right? Only a part of you, you know, the male reproductive organ gets snipped. Paul's saying, watch this, Jesus, in baptism, your whole self, fullness, right? The full deity who has full power baptizes your whole self. Why are you messing around with circumcision? That's old covenant anyway. Jesus takes your whole self in. He doesn't just want to snip part of you. He baptizes all of you, your whole self, fullness. The great evangelist D.L. Moody, he was speaking to a large audience. Well, he always speaking to a large audience, but one time he was, and he had a glass, just a regular glass. He said, how can I get air out of this glass? How can I get air out of this glass? It was empty. An empty glass. One guy said, suck it out with a pump. Moody said, well, that would create a vacuum, and it would shatter the glass. And there were a lot of other people who chimed in, and D.L. Moody picked up a pitcher of water, filled the glass. He said, see? Now the air is removed. He then went on to explain that victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking the sin out here, there, little pieces here, little pieces there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's more about what fills us than about how empty we are. I should say more about who fills us, right? We got the fullness of deity who has full authority, who takes our whole selves, not just pieces, not just parts, right? That's why we choose movement, depth, growth versus viral lies that try to incorporate Christ. Second and last reason why, freedom. Freedom. Verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. It's a picture of freedom, right? We're free from death, free to live, right? We were dead in our sins and in the uncircumcision of our flesh, and that's where God reached down and made us alive. He didn't tell us, make yourself alive. He made us alive in Christ, right? Jesus' solution to our uncircumcision wasn't circumcision, it's making us alive in Christ. Old Testament circumcision marks people. That's all it does. It marks us from the outside as people who belong to God. But Jesus is not merely concerned with marking. He's concerned with remaking. The false nonsense can mark us and can do all kinds of stuff to us on the outside. Only Jesus can remake the inside. See? He's not making us Jewish. He's making us alive. Right? Free from death, free to live. Also free through forgiveness. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross. We were condemned by God's law because we were sinners. And Jesus takes that away through forgiveness. God says, I'm going to forgive through my son. My son will die the death that sinners should die. All sinners for all time. By the law, we deserve death. And God says, yes, I will fulfill that. In who? My son. Right? Free through forgiveness. He canceled the debt. Right? Nailed it to the cross. Lastly, we are free from evil spiritual powers. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. There's a relationship between the cancellation of the law through Jesus' death and being free from the spiritual powers. I've said this before. One of the problems with Satan is that Satan is absolutely evil and hates us and hates God. But Satan used to have a case. He had a halfway case. Right? He tries to play good cop and bad cop. Right? Good cop. Hey, go sin. It's cool. It's fun. It's awesome. Bad cop. Oh, you done it now. And then he goes to the judge and says, Judge, did you see what she did? Oh, it's terrible. It's crazy. You should kill her. You should kill her and put her in hell. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She did it. He was partway right, because we did do it. And Jesus goes to the cross and says, I forgave that. I forgave that. But you don't understand. I forgave that. Do you know what he did? I forgave that. Cancels out the power of accusation. Right. And instead, Jesus made a fool of the devil on the cross. Because the devil thought he was killing the Son of God. And 3 days later, Jesus was like, psych. Right? Not really. Right? Free. Be free. Reason number two, and our last reason why we should choose movement, depth, and growth over spiritual nonsense with a Jesus sticker on it. We get fullness in Christ, and we get freedom in Christ. There's a 12-year-old, and he accidentally killed one of his family's geese through a stone, and he killed the goose. And he thought his parents wouldn't notice it if he just took the goose and buried it, right? And so he figured, hey, let me go do this. And, you know, there's like 24 of them. He's like, they won't miss one. Right? And so he buried it. But here's my man's problem. His sister saw. See, this is why I'm glad I was an only child. This is one of those, I'm like, yup, I'm an only, hey! Right? His sister saw. And she said, I saw what you did. And if you don't wash the dishes for me, I'm going to tell mom. Wow. Man, that's an OG, right? That's serious. So the boy, he did the dishes for days. She had him. She had him. I mean, he was a slave. She had him. He was doing them dishes for days. Then one day, it came time to do the dishes. And he looked at his sister and said, you do them. His sister said, I'm going to tell mom. And he said, I already told her, and she forgave me. I'm free. That's how it is with Christ. That's how it is with Christ. That's why you should choose movement, depth, growth. Here's our wrap-up statement. Choose more of the same Christ. More of the same Christ. Same Christ, more in him and from him. Reject empty new lies. Don't be fooled by nonsense with a Jesus sticker. It always is attractive when we try to substitute that for growth. If you ever wonder, why am I so attracted to this thing that's out there in the news, or it's out there on social media? It's just so attractive. I know it's not quite right with Jesus. Why is it so attractive? You're probably substituting for growth. There's probably some growing to do. Going forward, growing up, growing down. There's some growing to do. And it's going to be hard. And we're saying, I don't want the hard stuff. I want easy peasy lemon squeezy. And if you want that, it is going to be out there for you. The devil will throw heaps of it at you. It will always be readily available. And it will kill you. And it will not come with a cross. But the trick with that is it also won't come with a crown. Don't be fooled. Choose more of the same Christ. You don't need a new Jesus. You might need more of him, but you don't need a new him. He wants a newer you. And reject empty new lies. Paul has made an argument. We have to decide whether we're persuaded by it. The Colossians had to decide, and we have to decide. Movement, depth, growth in Christ. Is this an adequate reason to move forward and to go deep and to grow up in Christ? The fullness that's in Christ, the freedom that's in Christ. Is this an adequate reason? Yes. We say yes, because it's like, of course, it's from Paul. It's in the Bible. Of course it is. It must be. It's easy to say that on a Sunday morning. It's more difficult to say that in the trenches. See? Are these adequate reasons to reject lies that compete with Christ? You say yes! I say yes. I'm a pastor. I better say yes. It's literally in my job description, say yes. Yeah, but okay, Myron, it's midnight and nobody's around and it's you and the internet. You saying yes then? You're right to ask that. A lot of awful stories about people like me. Right? We know the answer on Sunday morning. The issue is, do we know the answer in the trenches? When the Lord is saying, grow this way. Continue on with me this way. Do the hard thing. I'll make it sweet. Grow in such a way that requires the cross, and you'll get my mercy. You'll get my fullness. You'll get my power. I will throw everything I got at your growth, and he will. Mark me, he will. Even with tears, even with difficulty, even with failure, and you got to get up again. But we have to choose, and not just on Sunday morning. Choose wisely. Because Christ is worth it. Amen. Praise God.